Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, bad news out of the way first.
Yeah.
Chicago happened and Punk didn't show up.
It did. Yeah. But I think they handled it about as well as they could have.
Like, honestly, here's the thing.
Okay.
I was going to hold out hope the whole show that Punk was going to show up. Like, they could have had Vince McMahon walk out, opening thing, like, for real, guys, Punk's not here. I'm sorry. I'd like him here. You'd like him here. But it's a thing. Punk's not going to be here. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah. And you still would have...
But until I saw that logo, the copyright logo at the bottom of the screen, I would have been, no, he's coming. He'll come. He's going to come.
All right.
And that's...
So you went into the Raw with a very positive outlook. Whereas I was holding on to every bit of skepticism that I possibly could, and I was making the firm belief that he wasn't going to show up. Yeah. Is that what happened? Like, there wasn't enough positive thoughts in the air, and he didn't resurface?
No. This
See, I like a Tinkerbell kind of situation?
I do believe in Punk. I do believe in Punk.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so it's my fault, everyone. Sorry, Chicago. That's me.
No, like, honestly, I can't put any blame on WWE here. I think the WWE handled it the best way they could. Either Punk was going to be there or he wasn't. It wasn't like, oh, they didn't use Punk and they should have. This was the time. Because they knew this was the time.
Yeah.
So the show opens up with Cult of Personality.
Yeah.
Chicago cheers.
Because
Chicago
cheers.
Yeah. I still would have liked Barrett to come out.
Yeah.
But Paul Heyman was a fine choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, oh, that promo.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Paul Heyman is a master on the mic.
Yeah. I mean, if there was any doubt.
Unparalleled. Yeah. He confronts the Punk situation head on.
Mm-hmm.
He controls the crowd. In a way, I would say, surpasses Daniel Bryan on Top of the Cage.
Okay.
Like, it's a different way, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think...
I see what you're saying.
I think Paul Heyman has them in the palm of his... And it is a perfect situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is waiting for... They know this will be the first time we get acknowledgement of CM Punk.
Yeah.
Since the walkout, you know. And so, everybody's waiting for it. So, it is the perfect time, and Paul Heyman just plays it off masterfully.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, here he comes because he's a heel. And, oh, no. Oh, they had to turn him face for this.
Right.
And that was the reaction. He had to be a face. They couldn't do this as a heel.
He had to play it into he had to play it in Chicago's hands, yeah.
Right. And they just, they ate it up. And I ate it up.
Yeah.
I was there. I was hanging on every note of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say, like, he turned heel again.
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
Like, oh, he was heel again, because he turned heel again, because he was a face for about 4 minutes right there.
He got the crowd on his side, and then basically turned it to serve his purpose into turning it into focusing on Brock and Undertaker.
And promoed the Brock Undertaker thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just, like, he handled the situation, he handled the promo, he handled it so well.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, slack-jawed in awe of it. I, you know, obviously it's only the beginning of March, but I'm pretty much ready to throw it in for promo of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be shocked
if
something else tops this for promo of the year.
Very true. Unless CM Punk actually does come back.
No, CM Punk comes back.
Yeah, and then just rails on whatever's bothering him. Yeah.
Right, no, there's, yeah, that's, you know, another pipe bomb scenario is feasible and could top this.
Yeah.
But it's also feasible that Punk can't top this.
Very true, yeah.
Because I would say, other than the first pipe bomb, this surpassed everything else Punk has said.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in the manner in which he controlled the crowd. Like, there wasn't any, you know, bots with God kind of, like, catchphrase hook thing in
right.
this one.
But he didn't, I don't think he needed it.
But he didn't need it. And just watching him control the crowd, watching him get every single reaction.
Yeah, and considering the options, like, the only other option here would have been to just ignore it completely. And I feel like that would have been almost impossible with this crowd.
Right, that yes.
So, given those two options, either, you know, face it head on or just ignore it, they went the, I think, the correct route. I'm assuming something must be going right with their talks and their negotiations or whatever you want to call it. If they're actually willing to talk about, they didn't really exactly talk about the situation, but they did talk about him. And that is an improvement over the past couple weeks. And now, you know, we felt like the reason they weren't doing that is because of, you know, they just didn't want to overstep any boundaries.
I don't
know
if this is a good sign of anything, though.
I don't know.
I just feel like it's a, like, we can't get through Chicago in for 3 hours.
Fair enough.
Without
yeah.
mentioning Punk. Which is why it's at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you threw out, you know, this kind of next best thing with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And just be like, that Paul Heyman can handle it. And he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, and obviously there were CM Punk chants, loud, resounding ones throughout the night, as there was going to be.
I just thought it was kind of dumb from that point on, anytime someone referenced Punk, it was very in a very roundabout way, like, you know, John Cena saying, oh, I had a Money in the Bank match against, you know, that
a
guy.
Or somebody.
Right, and I'm like, we've already attacked it head on, you can say his name, it's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was probably just him trying to be, you know, cute or smart or whatever, yeah. But no.
I mean, no, absolutely, you know, and not to say they're totally still good, there's still time between now and WrestleMania.
Right.
And, you know, and even after that, if Punk is, and that could be the thing, Punk's like, no, I'm not feeling WrestleMania 30, and let me come back at the Royal Rumble in 2015 and main event 31, and that's what he wants to do.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll hurt my little heart. That's a whole year without Punk.
True, but that means we'll actually get Punk back, which is better than no Punk at all.
I still feel very strongly I'll see CM Punk in a ring again.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Like, beyond anything else, it's like...
He'll be back.
It all comes back to, oh, we saw Bret Hart in the WWE ring. Remember that?
We did.
It might take a while. We'll see CM Punk in a ring again.
Right. Was there anything else Punk-related you wanted to talk about?
Honestly, Brock Lesnar did a pretty good promo.
Very quick one, but...
Very quick.
But maybe that's the point. Like, you know, keep it very short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Not say much. And do a Paul Heyman impersonation of how he says Brock Lesnar.
Yep. I mean, it worked. And maybe it was because I was so super high on this Paul Heyman promo that we had for the past 15 minutes. But, yeah, this I was like, yeah, go Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Talk that talk. Then he threw a monitor into the crowd.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I mean, I really haven't delved much into Dirt Sheets today, but yeah, I haven't really heard much on what happened with that. I did see some photos like, oh yeah, this person got hit in the face and here's their black eye, and I'm like, yeah, that could be anybody.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people compared it to, like, you know, oh, they're in trouble. Remember when Punk punched a guy?
Yeah, but Punk didn't really get in trouble.
No, and I still feel like, you know, if it was me in both of those situations, like, yeah, ow. But, you know.
You got a story and probably a monitor.
I got a story and probably some tickets.
Yeah.
You know?
And possibly a monitor.
Exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, I don't know what happened to it, guys. Like, okay, what is that, you know, box-like thing hiding underneath your coat there? It's like, oh, that's nothing.
So, you know, whatever. And then I feel like we should touch on, The Shield?
Yes, absolutely.
Because The Shield stressed me out.
Yes.
I didn't know it was going to hurt this bad.
Well, we don't know what happened. We don't know. We don't know what's going to come of this yet. Basically, Seth left, I believe, Dean out to dry whenever Dean went in for the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth just went on the ramp and started yelling something about him being tired of being the glue that's holding everything together. I was thinking about it. I was like, of all the breakup scenarios, we really didn't expect Seth to be the one to really start it.
Seth was the one we were worried about. It was, you know, it was all, you know, but assumed that it was going to be Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And hopefully Seth wouldn't get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. And during all the tension stuff, Seth was always the one that kind of reined everyone back.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of makes sense that he's just tired of being that guy.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also, you know, through kind of Seth shouting and what the announcers are explaining to further the storyline, mm-hmm. There were a few times in that match where Seth went for a tag and nobody was there because they were running around the back to, you know...
Do other stuff.
Yes. So, Seth just wants to wrestle you guys.
Fair enough. And I mean, I'm okay with that.
But I mean, like, you know, I knew this was going to happen because we all knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But just, like, seeing it start to happen, I'm like, oh, this is affecting me more than I thought it would. I didn't want these guys to break up.
No, but, you know.
Like, I thought I was ready for this.
Right. But then again, you know, we were ready, and then they started having these great matches against the
mm-hmm.
Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing it's never really a good time for it to happen. It's just, you know, go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off quick. Mm. But I'm kind of hoping they get one more Wyatt match somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably not anytime soon, because I feel like they need to start focusing on John Cena.
If they're gonna do that.
Because right now they're splitting time.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of weird.
Yeah. No, if they're really going for John Cena and the Wyatts at WrestleMania.
They need to focus on it.
Now's the time to start promoing. Like, you know, yeah, I've always said don't take too long, but you gotta strike a balance here.
Right, yeah. And you know what? It feels kind of wrong and weird to say, but I'm actually digging John Cena and Bray Wyatt right now.
Yeah?
I feel like this is what the whole embrace the hate thing was supposed to be if Kane was a mastermind at doing promos.
Yeah.
You know, because I really, to be honest with you, that was the only, you know, thing lacking was Kane's promo skills.
Embrace the hate never worked because it was the feud right before The Rock came back.
Well, yeah. Timing had a lot to do with it,
too. It was the worst killing time.
And also, there was this weird thing going on with Zack Ryder at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I got nothing.
There was a lot of shenanigans. For that. A lot of shenanigans going on with that. Because
that pretty much killed Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's... It did bring Kane's mask back, and I did like that mask.
Yes.
So that's the one good thing that came out from the whole Embrace the Hate feud.
Yeah.
But no, nothing really for that feud for me.
Yeah. But like I said, it feels like this is what it was supposed to be, you know.
I'm gonna need another week to really
get into it.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, this part of it was, you know, this was Chicago, and John Cena saying the next guy has to go through me feels a lot different in Chicago.
Yeah.
When the past couple of next guys didn't go through him.
Right.
And Chicago knows it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me another week on that one.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, that felt like a very weird thing for him to say as a...
No, I totally get what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I
in
do.
The context of Bray Wyatt, it works, and it's the totally right thing to say. But because he was in Chicago, because the crowd was doing what it was doing, and because of especially the past history of John Cena with people like Punk and Bryant, because of Chicago, it felt like, oh, he's turning heel.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, but it was like, that's what he would say if he was turning heel right now.
Very true, yeah. That would be the way to do it.
That would be a way to do it. There's so many ways to turn John Cena
heel. There's a billion ways resurfacing every other day. I understand that. So, this would have been the time to do it at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So give me a week on.
Okay.
We'll return before I fully commit to being excited about.
Okay.
This.
Now talking about stuff that you should be excited for. Sheamus and Christian part a billion.
Yeah.
How have they this has been going on since just before Elimination Chamber, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does this feel like they've been doing this for 4 months? Because I'm tired of alright.
Neither one of them have been back for 4 months.
Exactly. But it feels like this has been happening forever.
Okay, so, yeah, watching it, this was the match, you know, okay, first of all, they obviously chanted CM Punk and, you know, boring and all other sort of disrespectful chants throughout a lot of matches, but this was a big one. And I saw a lot of stuff on message boards and stuff, a lot of shame on you, Chicago crowd, you know, don't, you know, go hard on other wrestlers just because they're not CM Punk. Specifically citing this match as...
Yeah, but they weren't hard on every match. Like, They were loving Wyatt's and Shield.
They still chanted some CM Punk there.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's Chicago, so they're going
to
do that.
Right. But I'm saying that this match was specifically cited as, why would you do it to these guys who put on a decent match? Which honestly prompted me to go back and watch that match again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't
know.
No, yeah.
Okay, and here's the thing. You know, honestly, Sheamus and Christian, sure, why not? It kind of feels like this will get to be a WrestleMania match, just because WrestleMania is the next pay-per-view.
Right.
Not because this is necessarily a WrestleMania-worthy feud. Yeah. And WrestleMania has a couple of those every year. It's just like, oh, this is, you get this because, you know, this would also be on Extreme Rules or Night of Champions or whatever.
Right.
Just WrestleMania happens to be the next pay-per-view.
But if it's a WrestleMania match, they need to stop wrestling each other every freaking week.
Yeah. It was, I do believe that these guys could put on a WrestleMania quality match and go all out, especially Sheamus, because he can look like he got beat up.
Yeah.
He can look like he's been put through the ringer.
Yeah.
But this match was long and awkward, raw level match.
Yeah. And you know, and I will say this, there is a certain point where I kind of felt bad because I feel like these two guys, this match, it just really didn't even have a chance right out the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, sure, I don't really like either one of these guys right now, but, you know, I'm always open to give people a shot, you know. These guys, it felt like they didn't even have a shot with Chicago.
No, they didn't.
You know. So, there's a certain point where I do feel bad now. You know, they could have also not had a really long, boring match.
Yes, and that's the big thing. I feel like,
yeah, that didn't help.
I feel like this should have been a shorter match above beyond anything else. This match went on for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, the whole, I know you weren't super high on it, but the whole one more match summer between Christian and Randy, I was definitely on board for all of that.
Yeah, you were definitely on board, yeah.
Especially Christian. I thought Christian did great every single time.
Yeah, it's moments. I'll give him
so I am definitely fine with Christian and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm ready to watch Sheamus again. And I'm ready to watch Sheamus in an all-out super fight.
Okay.
And nothing he's done with Christian has been an all-out super
fight.
No,
Lord, no.
And I assume that's because...
I mean, I would give Sheamus this. He had some really good moments in the chamber.
Yeah.
Some stuff that didn't have to do with Christian. All things having to do with Christian and him right now haven't been really good at all for me.
I'm assuming they're saving it for WrestleMania.
I would hope so, yeah.
And you've got 3 hours to fill every week, so fine.
Right, yeah. And not every segment is going to be, you know, super exciting, and which was kind of what they were going for at the beginning of Raw. Like,
right.
A lot of stuff going on in the
right. They loaded it heavy, which was the right thing to do, because at the end of, you know, that first hour, like, this is the best Raw ever, here we go. You know?
Right.
And looking back on it, yeah, I get that, but I still stand by, this Raw is better than a lot of pay-per-views that I've seen.
Especially a lot of pay-per-views in 2013, yes.
So... this is just some quality free television, and I will go to bat for it.
Usos won the tag team championship.
Usos won the tag team championship out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. I didn't even know until they started promoting it for this. I didn't know until this show started that they even had a championship match that night.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because it's a very, you know, a title change is very exciting, especially when it happens on free television. So... You had that, you had a hot crowd, this was the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just still kind of surprised that Usos beat New Age Outlaws before WrestleMania.
Yes.
You know, that's the big thing for me.
Especially because the New Age Outlaws refused to say their slogan, really kind of cementing this heel status for them.
Yeah.
You know, so, I feel like that's... you know, really, I'm assuming that they're still going to be around till WrestleMania at least.
Yeah, they'll get their rematch. Well, no, they're getting a rematch on main event.
They're getting their rematch on main event. I don't know if they'll get their titles back or not, but
right.
You know, we'll see. But yeah, it was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Good solid show put on it by everybody, and still in that first hour where I'm super, super hot into the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, those. And that's another thing, like, comparing that to the Sheamus match.
Mm-hmm.
And also comparing that to things like I want to bring up the Darren Young and Titus O'Neil kind of thing.
Okay.
Where I was like, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil need to go all out for their match.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in any of these matches needs to do that.
Right.
Because Sheamus will be on next week. And Sheamus will be on SmackDown. And Sheamus will, you know, Sheamus is safe.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the show every week.
Mm-hmm.
So he just needs to, he does need to occasionally at WrestleMania go all out.
Right.
You know, same thing with the Usos. Usos need to go a little more all out continually for me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're champions now. So they'll be on the show every week.
Right.
Not to say phone it in.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, I would, you know, the Shield-Wyatt match was insane this week.
It was.
And, like, I don't think it was better than their Elimination Chamber match, but it didn't look like they were playing it safe. It didn't look like they were holding back.
No, not at all. But then again, I don't really think Shield ever holds back.
I don't know if Roman Reigns knows how to do that.
No, I really don't think he does.
So, but yeah, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Daniel Bryan situation.
Okay. Yeah, them using security to get him away from the ring feels kind of odd for them to do that before his scheduled match.
Yes.
You know? I felt like they should have saved that for the end. Do something along those lines. I don't know, like, maybe, like, save the whole chaotic ending for later. Because there was a lot of shenanigans going down.
And there's a lot to consider here.
Because
you have Randy Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan, Triple H, Stephanie, and Kane all quasi-involved in about 1.5 different storylines altogether.
Right, yeah.
Batista, they basically embraced the heel situation. Which, yeah, they had to do.
Yeah.
That does put a heel versus heel match as your main event in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Don't think they want that.
I don't think so, but...
And your options are somebody drops out, Randy Orton turns face, or you triple threat it.
I feel like triple threat would be the best way to go. Because we've seen a face Randy Orton, and we didn't like it. Randy Orton didn't like it. He hated it himself.
Yeah, I don't like that one, but I feel somebody dropping out is the best way to go.
Okay.
I just feel like, and maybe this is looking too much into, you know, backstage stuff, but I just feel like having a triple threat it guarantees the ending so much.
Okay.
We gotta stick a face in here so the face can win the belt to hold it high.
Right.
At the end of WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is Daniel Bryan. Because if they, like, go like, oh, we need a face. Big Show, get out here.
Yeah.
Like, no, oh, man.
No. Never that again. I think even WWE realizes that we should have done that.
But just, like, it has to be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And, okay, we spoke a lot about Daniel Bryan last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about, like, a lot about what I said. And I still stand by everything that I said.
Okay.
About everybody taking the carrot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But if Daniel Bryan doesn't face Triple H at WrestleMania, and CM Punk won't come back to face Triple H at WrestleMania... Who's gonna face Triple H at WrestleMania?
Big Show. Sorry, that's... Honestly, that's... Who else? Yeah.
Like...
Because they're going to want to put Big Show in WrestleMania somewhere. You know it. They have this infatuation with him.
But... And part of it is you've entangled this authority storyline and the main events, the title storyline, so much. And how do you... What do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan needs to be in two matches now.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that needs to be standing triumphant over Triple H. And he is the one that needs to have the title at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And so you can't do that.
Or, you know, throwing an idea out there, you don't have a Triple H match at WrestleMania. And just have Triple H, you know, the whole, like, standing tall over Triple H be more of a symbolism type thing whenever he beats Randy Orton, you know. And have Triple H, you know, not special guest referee, because we've seen that story before.
Mm-hmm.
Just have him at ringside or something like that, you know.
You think that's enough, though?
Works for me.
I mean, I feel like the Authority is such an, you know, omnipresent villain that they need to, you know, have their comeuppance at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And their comeuppance is getting punched.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
I mean, the only other option is to have Daniel Bryan go Bret Hart style and have two matches in one WrestleMania.
Yeah, but those are two big matches.
Yeah,
and I don't think he can do that. I don't. I mean, again, love Daniel Bryan. If there's a human on this earth that can do it, Daniel Bryan can put on two scenes, you know, show stealing matches at WrestleMania against this level of competitor.
I think that would be, you know.
But God, that's a lot to put on that guy.
It would be. And but again, he could do it.
He could do it, but that, I mean, that's not going
to happen. You'd have to have, like, him and Triple H early in the in the night.
Yeah, and then Triple H isn't going then.
Well.
Like, no, I mean, that's your two biggest matches.
Well, I mean, he won't be out there first.
Maybe your first and third biggest match.
Right. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't have that going out first or anything like that. Because my memory's terrible, but I feel like whenever Triple H had his match against Sheamus at WrestleMania 26, I believe.
That was 26.
Wasn't that relatively early in the night? Because I remember his fireworks going off and you see blue skies above.
It is very early in the night, but Triple H at WrestleMania 26 is a very different thing from Triple H.
Right.
At WrestleMania 30. Triple H was a full-time wrestler. Was still part of, I mean, that was the end of DX.
Yeah.
So, you know, right before that, you had him, you know, as a DX figure.
Right.
And all that. Very little acknowledgement of any sort of, you know, creative control or anything that he had with the company. This is a very different Triple H.
Yeah.
This is, it's a very different storyline. His storyline with Sheamus was largely, we need to have these guys both at WrestleMania. And so how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And so this storyline's been building up since the summer.
It has.
You know?
And yeah, I just don't know what else you would do.
No, and I don't know. I don't have an answer. You've painted yourself kind of into a corner by sticking these two matches.
Yeah, being very adamant about having Triple H face somebody, probably Daniel Bryan, and then, you know, have Daniel Bryan really deserving to be in the championship match, and then have the championship match right now be against two heels that no one really gives a crap about. And I don't think, I really honestly don't think WWE wants a repeat of last year at WrestleMania where somebody won, it was supposed to be a big deal, and no one gave a crap and they booed him out of the building.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think WWE wants that 2 years in a row.
Not at WrestleMania 30.
No. Lord.
And honestly, the only way I can see to quote unquote fix it, and this isn't even a straight up good idea, but is to make the main event a Fatal 4-Way with Triple H in it.
Interesting.
Have next week and the week after Triple H have lost faith in Randy Orton for some reason,
which the Authority does like every other week.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it's not a stretch, but then like. Have him lose faith in both of those guys and, you know, try and strip them of the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Have Hogan come out and be like, you can't do that because of blah-de-blah contract clause, blah-de-blah.
They did say Hogan has a huge announcement next week.
And then you have Triple H, well, fine, I'm going to be in the main event, you know, da-da-da-da.
Mm.
And then Hogan goes, and so is this guy. And, you know, the Daniel Bryan hits. And,
yeah.
And then that's how you've done it. So you have Daniel Bryan versus Evolution.
Right, yeah. That's what I was thinking, yeah. All right, fair enough. There's one way to go about it.
Yeah, speaking of that, what do you think is the big Hulk Hogan announcement?
The big Hulk Hogan announcement?
Because I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's,
I just hope it's not the Vince McMahon announcement to have an announcement.
Well, I mean, yeah, what was it? How far did the Rock announcement happen? They announced on...
They announced them,
They didn't announce that Vince McMahon would be there next week, but, like, yeah. on Twitter or online and stuff, they announced Vince McMahon will be here this week with an announcement.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon came out and said, my announcement is that I will be announcing next week who the host is.
Right.
And then the next week, he announced that it was The Rock.
Right.
So, yeah. So, we're not there yet.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, there's, like, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. Because the real, you know, thing is Hogan is going to be there.
Right.
People are going to tune in to see Hogan be there more than to see what Hogan has to say. Because whatever Hogan has to say, anybody can say it. It's just we can get Hogan to read the script, so.
There's one thing that's, I have a feeling that it might be, something Mr. T possibly being inducted.
Yeah.
But then again, they did say it's a big WrestleMania announcement.
Big WrestleMania announcement to me means something affecting the card.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And
especially since he's the host, he can do whatever he wants, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
he's going to be in the triple threat.
God, I hope not. I really, really hope not.
There's one way to get rid of those Bautista chants. Stick him against Hogan.
Oh, God, no.
And keep, like, going down, like, oh.
Joel, stop saying that stuff. Stop putting it in the atmosphere.
If they don't like Randy Orton, we'll give them something they hate more. If they don't like Batista, we'll give them something they hate more.
Guys, if this happens, blame Joel. You can send your hate mail to classringattire@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, I hate Joel.
I'd watch that.
Of course you would. But that doesn't mean that's...
That would be a mess.
Yeah. It would be a huge train wreck. And we got that train wreck. It was called TNA.
You would see the most gingerly placed Batista bomb as they cradled Hogan to the mat.
You think so? Because I don't think Batista would take anyone, you know, easy.
I mean, Batista's a rough dude, but do you think he would break Hogan?
By accident, sure.
We'll see. Next week.
Batista only plays rough.
Fair enough. But, okay, so, another, situation arising.
Okay.
The eventual breakup of the Real Americans.
Yeah.
Which means that Jack Swagger will probably have a WrestleMania match again.
Probably.
Against all odds.
But, you know what, it's against Cesaro, so I'm okay with it.
No, it's like, it's, I'm not dreading this match.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like, oh, this is... happening at WrestleMania just because WrestleMania is the next pay-per-view.
Right.
Because it's, you know, as much as, you know, I love Cesaro, don't get me wrong at all about that.
But this would also be probably a pretty good vehicle for him to turn face.
Right. But it's a mid-card tag team breaking up. It will happen just at the next pay-per-view. I'm fine with it happening at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm totally fine with it happening. Mm. And I hope good things come out of it for everybody, because I'm a nice person. But,
yeah,
you know, especially Cesaro. But yeah, but it's a little bit like against all odds.
And if you think about it, you know, you gotta fill up the card somehow.
Exactly.
And you know, if you think about it, the part timers aren't really being spread out this year. You know, you got two of them facing against each other with Brock and Taker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Batista's in the championship, and that's really all. And you know, whatever happens to Triple H
and Hogan.
Well, I don't think Hogan's gonna be in a match.
You don't think he'll be involved in one specific match?
I don't
above the others, like as a guest referee or as like a possibly. That's the one he'll come out and like a dictate. This is now a gauntlet match,
right? He'll have something to do with a match, but I don't think he will be part of a match. I don't think he'll be in a match.
I don't think he'll be on the card.
No.
But I do think there'll be one match above all. Obviously, like Rock. Yeah. Rock's one match above all others was Cena and Miz.
Right.
Like,
you got to have something that makes Hulk Hogan come out. To, you know, because, yeah, they can have backstage segments all they want. They gotta have something to have Hogan come out and address the crowd or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying. Like, in the actual card, you still gotta have some... Because, really, we got four part-timers that are going to be in a match.
Mm-hmm.
That's three matches right there. And they like to have, what, 8 or 9 on a WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
So, you know, having some mid-card matches, especially Cesaro and Swagger, I'm okay with. You know, you know what you're going to get with both guys. You know, Cesaro, you're going to, you know, you're expecting a lot more.
Yeah.
And Swagger, you know, he has done really decent things with Cesaro. So, I'm not dreading it. I'm interested to see where Zeb will go.
Yeah.
Probably stay with the heel, I would assume.
I would hope he go with... I mean, Swagger needs him more.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, this could be a big vehicle for Cesaro to turn face.
Mm-hmm. We also had what feels like the return of Dolph Ziggler. I guess he was technically there this whole time, but...
Yeah. Man, that crowd... The crowd did not care about the car noise or the car coming out. And then... As soon as the music hit and they saw Ziggler in the passenger seat, holy crap, you would have thought CM Punk came out.
Yeah, that was my big thing. So please don't attribute... Like, I adore me some Aaron Paul. I will probably go see Need for Speed.
Just because of Breaking Bad, I will see Need for Speed. Because I feel like he has earned that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing against Aaron Paul. Super cool dude.
Yeah.
Do not say that crowd was shooting for Aaron Paul.
Nope. Not even close. Because as soon as you saw that car come out, you knew exactly who was behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that movie. And it's the same exact car that you see in every trailer. So, but yeah. I said this on the 10 Thoughts column this week. It's refreshing to see, to have a reminder every now and then that Ziggler isn't quite forgotten yet.
Yes.
You know? The fans still love him when he comes out, and WWE still uses him every now and then, which gives me hope that he hasn't reached Zack Ryder levels.
Right. And I mean, I definitely like I will go back to this every time. Like, it's coming. Now's the Ziggle push.
Yeah.
Here it comes. And you know, whatever. Honestly, you know, can sit on.
It's the same thing as like any time. Kofi wins a mid-card belt. He's like, all right, this is the time they're going to start pushing him. They're going to start doing something with him. It never happens. But, again, you know, it's that perpetual, like, you know, always trying to hope for stuff.
Well, especially if I'm starting to look at the very real possibility that Punk will not be back.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler's my guy now.
Yeah.
So I need him to be on every show and I need to cheer.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the guy who I want to...
He's who you're hitching your wagon to?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, that worked out great with Punk and with John Morrison, and it's only good things.
I mean, it's not working too bad with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I didn't really care about Daniel Bryan. Remember that?
I know.
I mean, no, get me wrong. I love me some Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and it really became apparent this week. I finally think I touched on the thing about Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And I will blame creative for this because one's gut reaction.
Right.
And looking at everybody from like Rock to Stone Cold to CM Punk, honestly, to even John Cena, Triple H, all these guys, you get them in this mic off.
Yeah.
And they go back and forth. You know, the guy, the heel tears him down and you're just not good enough. And, you know, the B+ thing is the thing being thrown around this time around and stuff. And then they sit there and they take it and then they pull out the mic and they rip the promo to shreds with their own promo that is more intense and more invigorating, more powerful. And Daniel Bryan's not doing that.
Okay.
All of his promos are involved with listen to these people, give them what they want.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for the fans. And I'm doing it for the fans never sat super well with me.
Okay.
It's just, it's a, you know, and John Cena does that a lot now.
Yeah.
But he does it in a like, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, I like the cheer me or boo me thing a lot better than I'm doing it for the fans.
Right.
And CM Punk always had the attitude, I'm doing it because I'm the best.
Right.
The Rock was always, I'm doing it because I'm the best.
Yeah.
Stone Cold, all these guys.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan is the best. Like,
yeah.
Let's not, you know, quarrel about that. In the ring, as far as, you know, that skill, that talent goes, Daniel Bryan is unparalleled.
Yes.
He is easily the best technical wrestler, the best performer of in-ring ability that the company has at their disposal.
Right.
He's not as good on the mic.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's always been his specifically with WWE days, that's always been his Achilles heel, like.
And from the beginning, he's kind of had this, "Aw, shucks, you guys like me?"
Yeah.
Kind of attitude.
And but you know what? Maybe he's better off as a heel. Because I really dug him whenever he was a heel. Like, that's when his promos, again, weren't great, but it felt like it was easier for him to be in that character.
And it's easier to be a heel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so, I don't know, it's scary to put out there, like, criticism of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Lest I get shredded by the world.
Yeah, and, you know, and there's been some high points for him on, like, a lot of them, Team Friendship, be honest with you. And then, yeah, again, as a heel, you know, the verbally abusive boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Was absolutely working.
Yeah, and, like,
this one, it feels like he's a little bit too generic with his promos, you know, and doing the whole, you know, I do it for the fans, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, with the crowd behind you that much and you're a face, you'd be kind of dumb not to try to tap into that.
Right, but and part of that, and you mentioned it watching, like, he has no poker face.
No,
like, the
no.
guy just loves however, and, like, I can't blame him. I would be
right.
grinning like that if I was in that position.
Yeah, and, like, I've noticed that time and time again, and that's one of the reasons why I love him. It's just, there's points and times where he just can't help but smile from ear to ear. Specifically, when they had the pre-TLC thing with all the former champions, and they were starting to chant for him in Seattle, and he just couldn't help himself, just, you know, grinning like crazy.
Yeah, no, I remember that. But I need something in this feud, in this situation, I feel like Triple H is besting him on the microphone.
Well, yeah. I mean, Triple H also, you know, he's been on in that main event spotlight for a very long time.
He has.
He got that experience, yeah.
But I don't think Daniel Bryan, I mean, and they, you know, they should be working together to tell this story,
right.
too. And, you know, and this isn't to say, like, oh, Triple H should give him the win,
right.
because, and Triple H is, you know, now burying him as he always does because he can't look bad.
Yeah.
No, they you know, if Daniel Bryan, I don't want Triple H to go down, I want Daniel Bryan to go up.
Right.
And there's, you know, and he's not bad, and there's still plenty of time, and I'm still excited to see him in the ring, and if you ever have an episode without him, I will be enraged.
Yes.
All of that still is true. I would love Daniel Bryan to be more biting, more cutting on the mic.
Okay. Kind of like the promos that he had against John Cena before SummerSlam.
Yes.
Doing the whole, like, I'm the professional wrestler, you're, you know, just an entertainer, something
yes.
along those lines.
A lot of that stuff
was a little bit
really
more
good.
Biting there. So a little bit more of that is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, I can get behind that.
I think that was, you know, that would,
a lot. You're saying have his promos be a lot more poignant.
Exactly.
With purposeful.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with that,
nobody has to do anything for me.
No.
You know?
These are very, very small potatoes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Also, I want to mention NXT Arrival.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming you watched.
I caught in at the tail end of Sami Zayn and Cesaro, and I haven't had a chance to go back and watch anything before that.
Well, it's pretty good. I mean, it's the first match.
Okay.
It's a pretty good match.
I need to go back and watch the whole thing is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's worth the whole thing's probably worth a rewatch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two,
yeah.
Or all of them. I mean, you know, we can break it down like a full pay-per-view, but honestly, just go watch it if you haven't seen it. because there's, it's hard, it has been before the network, it's been hard to see NXT.
Mm-hmm. You would have to very, very much look for it online.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's easy to see NXT.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so I want to watch it now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And now it's like you don't have a reason not to.
Right.
Yeah.
And watching this performance,
mm-hmm.
watching this in its entirety, watching Arrival in its entirety as a full-scale production
mm-hmm.
was astounding.
Yes.
Like, the camera decisions were better than Raw.
From what I understand, the production guy, it wasn't the usual NXT production guys, it was actual WWE guys doing the production stuff this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but usually, yeah, it's their own guys there at Full Sail.
But the commentary was better?
Yeah.
There was more energy. I mean, the lighting schematics?
They like to do things a little bit differently on NXT. And I like it. I like it a lot.
The women's match, like, just the concept of it, like, the core concept of how that match went.
Yeah. Which is weird, because, again, like, we've said a bunch of times just how much Emma isn't working for us on Raw.
Exactly.
And then we see this. It's like, oh, she's capable of so much more.
I
use that.
I see why people like her.
Right.
And it's just, you know, and the thing is, the whole thing that I took away from it was, you know, we've heard a lot about, like, Triple H's, you know, NXT's kind of been his baby, and, like, this cultivating, yeah. like, their own developmental thing where they bring guys in from the very beginning, build them ground up,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing for the WWE. And he's really worked on getting the development center, the training, the getting guys prepared to be WWE superstars.
Yeah.
So it sounds like every good thing about NXT could be attributed in some way to the way Triple H runs a wrestling promotion as a business.
Right.
And if that is true,
why aren't we seeing that on Raw?
Raw's gonna be fine
when Vince McMahon
leaves.
Right. A lot, you know, so basically your thinking is that all the problems that we're having with Raw now probably might have something to do with Triple H not having full control.
I think there is. I mean, obviously, NXT is a smaller show. NXT is right.
It's an hour. It's a hour weekly show.
Right.
But we've also seen how WWE's other hour weekly shows aren't really
right. Good. But there's going to be a lot of stuff on NXT where it's like, I want to try this. Why not? If it doesn't work, who cares?
Right.
You know, which isn't true of Raw and other things.
And that harkens back to, you know, the NXT Redemption days.
Exactly.
They would just try different stuff, and some of it was really fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, they can try out these weird kooky characters.
Yeah.
You know, let's try a weird cult leader. Oh, that worked. We can actually put it on this,
yeah.
you know, the real
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if, you know, if that didn't work, because it didn't work at the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the early Bray Wyatt stuff, when we saw him live.
Yeah, when we saw him do a dark match.
When we went live to the show.
Right. That was 2012. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mid-2012. He was by himself, and it didn't work for us.
It was weird. He kind of danced in the ring.
Yeah, and again, that was our very first impression of Bray Wyatt. We didn't see anything of FCW at the time. We didn't really know what his deal was. We didn't really know who he was until afterwards when we looked it up.
Right.
And yeah, once he's kind of dove into the character a little bit, because it was a while, it just felt like he was being creepy to just be creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started the whole, he got hurt and they started doing the whole Wyatt family thing. That's when it really kind of took shape and he ran with it.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there was some bright moments beforehand when he was just by himself, because again, you start to really see how talented he is with promos.
Mm-hmm.
On top of his ring ability. You know, it took a while to develop, so once they found that point, that's when they brought him up. So I'm all for that, yeah. And I agree with a lot of things that you're saying, specifically that, you know, I really think things will be fine once Triple H has full control.
Yeah.
You know. He's just got to learn how, I don't know if, well, and again, I don't know whose call it is, but something has to be done with balancing out your top guys.
Yeah.
You know, with people coming up. And again, I don't necessarily think that's all Triple H's fault, but who else are you going to point your finger at right now?
No,
because it feels like him and Stephanie are the ones who have the most control right now.
Right. And there's a lot of, you know, like, obviously there's a lot of voices at the top. Yeah. And Vince, until the day Vince, you know, dies, Vince's voice will always be the last word.
His voice will always hold the most weight.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get that. And, you know,
it's his company.
Agree,
yeah,
or disagree with it, yeah.
It's his company, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, NXT offers so much, like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
For this. For me, at least.
Mm-hmm. On top of, you're seeing some really good talent come through the pipeline.
Yes.
That's also reassuring.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, especially knowing that, you know, Cena's not going to be around for a whole lot longer. Punk is obviously not going to be around for much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. I mean, Randy Orton, he's still relatively young, but he's been in it for a while, so you don't know that. Big Show's got to be on his last, or one of his last legs. Same thing with Kane.
Mark Henry.
So that's a lot of talent who are very much on the cusp of leaving. And again, you don't know how much longer Taker's going to be.
Yeah.
There, so. That's a lot of people on their way out.
But, yeah.
Potentially.
But, yeah, Arrival was like a shining, bright future star.
Mm-hmm.
It's going
to
be
that
okay.
That ladder match was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun to watch. Adrian Neville was fantastic.
Yeah. So,
Bo Dallas, whatever. Whatever, you know. Bo Dallas, he's solid.
Yeah.
Not crazy about him. I'm not a believer. But he was solid, yeah.
All right. On that note, do you have anything else you need to... Really break down?
Not really. You want to talk about what's making you happy?
Making me happy?
All happy right. time. Happy time. Happy, 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 happy
what's
time.
Making me happy this week? We got a new trailer for and a bit of an announcement date for the Paul Heyman DVD.
Yeah.
Which is going to be coming out this August.
Which
more importantly, what's making me even more happy.
You tweeted about it on Classic Ring Guitar, and yes, it got retweeted
and
by
Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman retweeted me.
That's fantastic.
So that's making me very happy.
Brilliant.
Thrilled about that.
Yeah, because last night, I was telling Joel before we were recording, like, right after Raw, I got this really bad, bad headache, and so I went to bed early, and I got up briefly to check my phone, and I saw, you know, Heyman Hustle, you know, retweeted this. I was like, I don't remember sending that out, because usually I'm the Twitter guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked, and I was like, oh, Joel sent this out. Fantastic. So I sent a message to Joel, and both of us, I'm assuming both of us went, you know, full Muppet arms.
Yep, squee.
Yes.
So yeah, no, that was gonna be my making me happy thing already was, yeah, this Paul Heyman DVD, I'm thrilled about that. And then Paul Heyman retweeted me.
You're so giddy.
I'm really excited.
But, you know, fair enough. I completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what's making me happy? Wrestling related, you know, again, Wyatt's in the Shield, like, how can you, like, what else can you say about it, you know, that hasn't been, you know, wax poetic, you know, already. It was fantastic, and again, NXT Arrival, technical glitches aside, it was a very well done show.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what we were talking about this the other day is, you know, we're really glad for NXT Arrival and the glitches that they had, because I'd rather that happen then than at WrestleMania, you know?
Exactly.
So, I'm all for them working out the kinks. So, there's that. Non-wrestling related.
So, yeah, so, okay. If you can, watch everything live on the network that you can, just to try and get them used to working with big numbers of people.
Yeah, yeah, because other than that, you know, their live stream is pretty much flawless from what I've noticed. You know, they still have some on demand glitches every now and then, but it's getting better.
Yeah,
it's getting much better. Still doesn't work on my my Chromebook.
Yeah,
but then again, I have no idea why.
I haven't tried the Xbox yet. I'm gonna try that this week.
It should work fine. It works on my PS3, and I just got a PS4. Another thing that I'm happy about, non-wrestling related, works very, very well on PS4 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another non-wrestling related thing that I'm happy for, spent some time with the family this past week. It was a lot of fun. really cool stuff. Got some good news here and there, you know. Personal stuff, I'm not going to bore you guys with it. But, yeah, it was a very, very good week.
Good, all right.
Yeah.
Rock on.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. Last week we asked for Martin Shaw's review of the new RoboCop, and he gave us his review, and it is, the new suit sucks. Moving on, we have Blair. He sent this last week, but he sent it after we had recorded, so it didn't get put on the show, so we're putting it on now, and he wants to know is, does Batista and Orton at WrestleMania 30 count as hate watching? Because he can't wait to watch this match. He said some other things, but I'm putting in match. Yes.
Yeah, I guess. If you want to watch it...
Yeah, it would have more of an effect if you were in the crowd.
Yeah. You
know? Then hate-watching is an art form there. I guess this is along the lines of, you know, sitting down on Netflix and watching Rubber and knowing how crappy and terrible that movie is. You know, but still, you know, but it being so terrible.
I don't want to watch Rubber in the dark of my room alone. I want to watch it with a lot of people.
Well, yeah. That adds to hate-watching. Right. Is watching it with people. Like... Whenever we were at, we all lived at the dorm, we would have movie night, and then once a month we'd have a WTF movie night. Mm-hmm. And just whatever weird, terrible movie we could find, watch it as a group, and it'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why I know what the apple is.
The apple. The
apple's so terrible.
Watch that movie, you guys.
That's, it's all Joel's fault.
It's amazing.
No, it's not.
But, I will say that, yeah, the concept of hate watching really works. With,
in a group. Yeah.
With wrestling, with a built-in audience there.
Yeah, absolutely.
To boo along with you.
Yeah, because hate watching by yourself is just sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I did that with Donkey Punch, and I just felt like, you know, my self-confidence just took a nosedive that night, you know? And then I watched it, you know, about a year later with the same group of people at the dorm, and it was one of the best nights ever.
Yeah. No one. Because I watched Donkey Punch. That movie's weird.
Okay, but you had fun with everyone else. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point, is having fun and joking about this dumb movie with other people. And then, a couple days later, someone, like, watching a commercial, be like, oh, that song was on Donkey Punch. And I don't know why they would remember that, but they did.
Yeah, I don't have that movie anymore.
Because you gave it to me.
I am happy that movie is not in my collection.
You paid for that movie twice.
I have bought that movie twice. That makes me sad on the inside.
And then gave it away.
If we had a segment called What's Making Me Sad.
Well, but then again, I actually paid money for Cowboy Wants a Baby as well.
God.
That's a book. Because the first copy that we found was
free.
We found
in a box.
We found in a box on the side of the road.
Yes, we did.
Coming back, birthday. It was a birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, you found it, and it was great, and then someone ran off with it, and then I actually bought... It was on Amazon for a penny, but then I had to pay
like $3 shipping.
Yes, so it was like three bucks and a penny.
Yeah, to own another copy of Cowboy Wants a Baby.
Well, it went to the dorm library, so
okay.
I don't own it. Thank God, guys. If you ever get a chance to read excerpts from Cowboy Wants a Baby, I believe it's chapter 13 and 14. I believe.
Sure.
It was one of those. Those two chapters. All I gotta say is flossing. That's all I gotta say.
Art. Art of hate watching, hate reading.
Hate reading.
Hate experience.
Well, the reading thing was more, you know, again, it has to do with the crowd because
we did the dramatic reading.
I did the dramatic reading with everyone there.
Yes.
And there was so much better.
Yes.
I've never read any other chapter in the book other than those two, and I'm okay with that because that would mean I would have to read it by my own time.
That would spoil the chapters, I feel.
Yes, it really would.
So.
God, those stories just made me think, we really didn't do much in college, did we? We watched terrible movies and read terrible books.
I hope you all did that in college.
Like, they're going to think, like, how did those guys graduate?
That's what people do in college.
Sure, why not? You know, some people go out and party. We watched terrible movies.
They didn't party.
Fair enough.
All right.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send us to an email. I said that weird. Send that to our email. That's classroomattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. We will, you subscribe, you give us a rating of
5 stars.
Do any of that kind of stuff. Really helps us out. Maybe review it too.
Yes. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you, and it'll be included in the mail sack.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!